I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Having the honor and pleasure of filling in for Tommy today and tomorrow. Normally I'm on from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. Please feel free to join me then or use the rewind function in the Odyssey app to go on back and listen to us early at 5 a.m. Getting a lot more of the text coming in on the Equinart Jewelers Talk and Text Line at 504-260-1870. About people upset that this settlement that the New Orleans Archdiocese is agreeing to pay victims of priest sex abuse is costing the church so much in so many ways. They've been divesting of important assets and having to go into bankruptcy and sell off portions of their charitable efforts to get the money to pay this settlement. And we've seen under the bankruptcy and under consolidation, for a number of reasons, the consolidation of parishes. So closing of actual church buildings as they have to have a bigger footprint for each one because they have fewer churches to serve as many people. Steve in Covington, thanks for calling. You're on WWL.
How are we doing today, sir?
What's on your mind, Steve?
As a survivor of child sexual abuse by a clergy.
Are you a member? Are you a member of the settlement?
Yes.
What are your thoughts on it? Is it enough money for you?
I have no idea what's going to come out of this. Because we don't get to testify in front of the person who's going to evaluate our cases. And
so
I can't tell you.
The third party evaluator, you're not going to meet face to face with a third party evaluator to determine how much of this roughly $300 million you're entitled to.
Correct. So, you know, to me, I want to look at the other dioceses that filed for bankruptcy and what they paid. Because if you look at Los Angeles, they paid $1.5 billion.
How many victims did they have?
Which I have no idea.
Well, wouldn't that be... That would probably be important to know if there's 600 or so victims in a much smaller, less populated archdiocese like New Orleans versus the Los Angeles diocese. You know, we have to make sure we're comparing apples and apples, right?
We do. But if you look at Boston, they paid $1 billion. And how are they going to calculate what's going to go on? Now, I have all the bills since I started medical treatment. And I've spent over $100,000 out of my pocket, cover my medical expenses over this time.
Do you think you'll get that much out of this?
I have no idea.
Let alone all of the other impacts above and beyond the actual dollar amount that you've paid to doctors and medical facilities.
You know, but, I mean, look at it. I still have to go to my therapist and my psychiatrist. And depending on what I get, it's not going to matter.
Will any amount of money, would any amount of money be enough for you, do you think, to really address what you've suffered through?
No, I can't answer that. Because I know that Greg Amon is going to get a full retirement package with fully covered insurance. And I think all his money should go to us.
You know, several people have texted us that they believe that the priests should be the ones paying this, but clearly no priest has $300 million. And the priests who committed these atrocities on the victims.
I will back up for a second. No priest has it, but how do they have a retirement account? For the rest of their lives.
Several people are also texting me, though, and saying, Steve, that it's unfair that people who need elderly care, who need affordable housing, who need other services that would have otherwise been provided by the New Orleans Archdiocese, now cannot get that charitable funding because this money has to go to survivors of child sex abuse. And most of them are angry with the priests who committed the molestations. Many are angry with the lawyers who have been involved in the process. But it really is a difficult position for. There's no good answer here. Obviously, the victims who were molested by clergy deserve compensation for that. But the question is at what price, and it is unfortunate that some have to suffer as a result of this. It would be ideal, of course, if the priests who committed these rapes, these molestations, these atrocities, could personally pay all of this money, but that's not possible. So it really is a difficult position and situation, isn't it?
Well, they took away Lawrence Hecker's retirement.
Well, the prison was supporting him. The prison system and the taxpayers were supporting him.
Right. But still, they took it away before he went to prison.
Steve, we feel your pain. We understand that there's no perfect solution to a problem of this magnitude, and there's no way to really make right all the wrongs that have been.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
And committed. I appreciate your sharing your thoughts with us and being brave enough to join us here on WWL. And I wish you the very best, and I hope it ends as best as can be for you.
I thank you for taking my call.
All right, Steve, hang in there. And we hope that the evaluator and that process works out. We're going to shift gears and get Judy Hohen here. But let's take a break before we do that here on WWL. Several people are texting us also that not just those police, those priests, who committed these atrocious acts should have to pay, but also every priest who ever contributed in any way, shape, or form to covering it up or moving rapist priests around from one church or one parish to another should also have to pay. It's 9:37. It's Tuesday, December the 9th. I've been told that today is the 7th busiest shopping day of the year. According to the company that tracks all of those little security tags that are put on items that we buy, today is expected to be in the top 10. In fact, the number 7 biggest day to spend money on holiday gifts as people increase their spending as we get closer to Christmas. Of course, Black Friday was the single biggest day. Yesterday was the biggest day. It was called Green Monday, the largest spending day. So a lot of people are spending a lot of money buying Christmas gifts. It's also National Christmas Card Day, when people are supposed to by now send out those cards if they're sending them. So it is the most wonderful time of the year, right? Judy Ho joins us now to talk about the holiday spirit, how people are feeling, and to talk about the holidays in general. She's a clinical and forensic neuropsychologist and host of the Supercharged Life podcast. Happy holidays, Dr. Ho.
Hello, Dave. How are you? Happy holidays to you.
I'm doing well. It's cold here, and that's put a lot of us in the holiday spirit because it feels like, you know, it looks in the movies we see about the holidays when we don't typically get a lot of cold here, but we've got it now. And for many people, it really is the most wonderful time of the year, right? A lot of people enjoy the holiday season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I look forward to it every year. But as you just mentioned, it's also a complicated time for many people, for probably most people in a way, because I think there's so much media and expectation about this supposedly being the most merry time of year. And when you don't feel that way every day, then you feel like something might be wrong with you.
Yeah, I'm guessing that very few of us have a holiday experience like we see in a Hallmark movie where there's always a happy ending and there's magical times and things are wonderful. They're all usually challenged to overcome in those movies, but it's always, you know, happy at the end and everybody appears to be ready to live happily ever after. But I know we focus a lot on the people who struggle during this time, but it must be overall, even dealing with family issues that, you know, my mother was always fond of saying, families are a wonderful thing. Everyone should have at least one of them. Pointing out that, you know, all families are dysfunctional to some level. And we all have issues with other family members. And when you get a whole family together, there's bound to be conflicts and controversies and things like that. But overall, yeah, we do it over and over every year, and so we must find some joy in the holiday season, right? We like it in general, and most people
like it.
Find it a good thing, right?
Exactly. We like it because it feels like something, like a time that's special, right? There's oftentimes more vacation than on other days. It's something that a lot of people look forward to because there's that feeling of it being a special occasion. And then, of course, the bottom line is it's a time for us to get together with people that we love, even if they're challenging. And that's really because as human beings, we're social beings. We actually do want connection. That's one of the key factors for why we have survived as a species for so long, because we are a social species. We do need that for our mental and physical health. And so despite disappointments, despite any issues that you might have, you still reach for that connection. And for the people who are saying, well, I'm a recluse, I don't really need that many people. But even for those individuals, you probably need one or two people that you really feel like are in your corner. And it's a biologically and evolutionarily based need that we all have.
That all having been said, while most of us enjoy, in general, the bulk of the holiday season, we like the traditions, we like getting together, we like giving and receiving, we like the parties, we like the gatherings, there is really a lot of pressure on people to at least appear to be happy this time of year, that this is the most wonderful time of the year. So we have to feel wonderful, but not everybody does feel wonderful.
Exactly. And that pressure leads to a lot of self-criticism. Like, well, why don't I feel happy? I should be grateful. My life is pretty good. Why am I wallowing in my misery? And if depression and anxiety and any kind of emotional stress was that predictable, then only the people who have the worst life circumstances would ever be depressed. And we know that that's not necessarily the case. And even sometimes when we're trying to help somebody who might seem down or maybe even clinically depressed, we say things that maybe are supposed to help, but end up feeling invalidating for them. Like when you say, well, you should be grateful. Everything's great in your life. Why are you sad? I know that sometimes we say those things to try to cheer people up, but that obviously makes them feel even more like a failure, even more shameful for struggling with the feelings that they
have. Right. If I should be happy, why am I not happy? And so
exactly.
You're telling them that even though they are feeling this way, that it's not justified, and that makes them feel even worse for feeling that way.
Exactly. That's
so
it.
What should we say to someone if we know someone in our lives who during the holidays clearly has the blues instead of the reds and greens, who clearly is struggling and suffering? What should we say to them to help them during this time of year?
Well, I think that sometimes we overlook how important it is just to listen. Sometimes we feel most useful when we're actually saying something very specific or very directive, or here's how you're going to solve this problem, or here's how I'm going to make you feel better in the moment. But oftentimes people just want to feel like somebody's listening to them, and giving them the space just to share what they're going through is huge. And if you really feel like you must say something, one really good therapist trick that's really good in real life is what we call active listening. So you let them, you know, get something off their chest, and then instead of going straight to an advice or maybe sometimes making it about yourself, like, hey, I went through this, blah, 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 and then you start telling your own story, it's really helpful just to reflect what you heard in your own words. So you can just say something like, okay, well, what I'm hearing is you're feeling actually super lonely at this point in time, even though you're surrounded by people every day. That's all you really have to say. You just reflect what they say. And generally what that does is, one, it prevents miscommunication, because if you misheard something, they can just correct you then. But also it encourages them to keep sharing. So oftentimes they'll say, yeah, and you know what? I've also just realized X, Y, Z. So the conversation can continue without them feeling judged, but them knowing that you're actually paying attention to them. And then maybe towards the end of that conversation, one other helpful thing that you could do is, and only if you mean it, say it only if you mean it, what can I do to help, if anything? Sometimes we think we know what might help our friends and loved ones the most, but I think it's helpful just to lay back and let them tell us, because we're all different, right? Something that's helpful to you may not be helpful to them in this moment. So just have an open-ended question. What can I do to help you? Is there anything I can do? And I think that opens a door for them to share the ways in which you can maybe alleviate their stress or their mental load a little bit. And that can really help to, one, increase connection, but two, that's truly what's going to make them feel better in that very moment.
When we're planning our gatherings, whether it's an office party, whether it's a family get together, whether it's a friend's event, I think a lot of people do feel pressure to not only attend, but to be happy at these things. And sometimes for some people, that's challenging. If someone's not feeling happy about it, is it the advice, A, don't participate, don't go? Or is there other advice that you would give to someone when they feel like they really should be a part of this, but they don't really feel like being part of it?
Right. Yeah. I mean, first, it is good to just assess and say, is this something that I really do want to do, but I'm just having fears about it, or I'm just thinking ahead and see that there could be some unpleasant interactions and you're avoiding it, or if it's just something that you should take off your list, because oftentimes we do say no too infrequently. We say yes too often, and then we end up feeling resentful and dreading things. And so it is important just to take stock first and say, is this something that I truly should say yes to? But if you know that you probably should say yes and you kind of want to, but there's just some fears holding you up, it's always helpful to give yourself some boundaries and guardrails. Just because you're signed up to go to a party doesn't mean you have to stay for the entire length of time. You can just go for an hour and then make an excuse that you have somewhere else to be and, you know, gracefully exit. There could also be certain things where if you're not looking forward to talking to certain people and when you arrive, you see that they're starting to rile you up, you can always excuse yourself from that conversation or know that that's a boundary for you to step out, right? So I think that it's important to think a little bit about, well, what can I do to protect my own mental space, even if I do go, and still get that interaction, still be there, but not burn myself out or not cause more stress. And so it's okay to do that. And I think that sometimes we just feel bad and we don't want to, you know, excuse ourselves early or say we're going to come late or just for an hour. But I think that that's very, very important for you to, one, enjoy yourself while you're there and not have resentment. And two, also be respectful to the person who's hosting, because if you're just moping around and unhappy, that's not great for the person who's hosting either, because they feel responsible for making you feel good.
Should hosts, should friends and family members do anything differently if they know there's someone who does not enjoy or cannot find ways to enjoy the holidays because of whether it's depression or anxiety or whatever the case may be? Is there any responsibility on friends and family members to do anything differently, whether it's making accommodations or gracefully making it clear that, hey, if you don't want to come, that's cool, we understand? How should folks who are hosting or who are a member of the group behave in circumstances like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that sometimes when we see people who are around us who are suffering, we want to be the ones to pick them up, but it can't be your full responsibility, right? The individual has to take some responsibility too, and other people should share that burden. And also you should check in on how you're feeling on that given day and if you have the bandwidth to actually be more supportive. And it can change from day to day. There are some days when you're saying, hey, I have enough mental bandwidth and time to sit with you for a few hours and kind of deal with this together and listen to you and maybe help out around your house. And there's other days where you might not have the energy to check in with them at all, or maybe just a quick text and that's it. And so I think that it's important to think a little bit about how much you're able to manage or deal with on any given day. And it can change. Like, be flexible with yourself that whatever you decide today isn't what you have to decide tomorrow. And it's not you abandoning people you care about, because you can't shoulder all of that responsibility, and caregiver stress is very real.
Talking with Dr. Judy Ho, clinical and forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast. And I hate to, you know, a lot of people are texting us going, why are you bringing us down on the holidays? We're trying to be happy and you're making it a sad time. Well, for some people it is a sad time, but I do want to acknowledge that clearly many people really love and enjoy the holidays. They love decorating. They love entertaining. They love going to parties. They love giving gifts. A lot of people love getting gifts. And it really is, for many people, a very happy time of the year.
Absolutely. And I think that that's also important to just remember to take stock of your values, the things that are the most important to you, and try your best to stay in contact with them every single day. And values are different from goals, right? It's the things that are the most important to us that we want our lives to represent. Just keep that front of mind. You can still live a valued life, even if you're having just a down moment. And that will make you enjoy the holidays much more when you're spending your time doing meaningful things, even if it's a little bit of a struggle at times.
Yeah, we were talking about today being National Christmas Card Day, and do people still send and receive Christmas cards? And one person we were talking to earlier said, you know, I miss my mom's passive-aggressive Christmas cards. When she'd send me a Christmas card and say, hey, happy holidays, wish I heard from you more. It's like, well, wait, that wasn't happy. That was kind of back. So anyway, that having been said, do you still send and receive Christmas cards, Dr. Ho?
I do. I don't do it every single year, but I think it's great. And I love getting the hard copy Christmas cards still. I don't know about you, but I love those the most.
Yeah, I still like putting them on the fridge or on the mantle. Problem is, I have so much fridge space and mantle space now, the cards never fill them up like they used to, because so few people actually still send them. Some people said it's because stamps cost 78 cents a piece. Others said it's because, well, you know, I can just text you or a little message or a picture or post on social media. The world's changing, that's for sure. But for those people who enjoy Christmas cards, and I think we know the people in our lives who enjoy them, maybe still send them to those people specifically who really do appreciate and want them. So,
absolutely.
Thank you, Dr. Ho. We sure appreciate you joining us. Happy holidays to you and yours.
Thank you.
Judy Ho here on WWL. We'll see what is coming up next here on WWL and wrap up the show after this. Glad you're with us here. Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.